If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. What a week it has been in the world of reality TV. And this time, I'm not even just talking about Bravo. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and for the main event today on the show, we have our quarterly State of Every Real Housewives franchise episode. This time, I'm joined by Ronnie Karam from Watch What Crappens. We had somehow never podcasted together, and I was so excited to finally have him on the show. We met for the first time at BravoCon this past fall. So again, somehow we had never met before that, but he is just such a great guy. He is so funny. And obviously what him and Ben, who has been on Gabbing with Gib a couple times, have built with Watch What Crappens is so impressive and absolutely an inspiration to me. They're truly incredible. And honestly, what made this week a perfect time to talk to Ronnie for the first time is that he and Ben had just won iHeartRadio's TV and Film Podcast of the Year Award the night before. So we talked about that before we got into talking about every single Real Housewives franchise. And we recorded that before the big news about the Real Housewives of Miami came out and the big news about the Bachelorette had blown up. So I'm going to get into both of those things before we get to my chat with Ronnie, and we had a blast together. So keep listening for that. But again, of course, we have some other things to touch on up top here, but first, I guess let's just get this Taylor Frankie Paul thing out of the way, because obviously, even though my focus is on Bravo on Gabbing with Gib, I have covered Secret Lives and Mormon Wives on here some. I'm halfway through that new season, by the way. I'm sort of slowly making my way through it, and I'll try to give you my thoughts on it next week at some point if that still feels relevant. But I was excited about her season of The Bachelorette, honestly. It was going to be my first time watching it in quite some time. And obviously, her being chosen to lead the show was a controversial choice. But her past was also no secret. ABC knew what they were getting into with her. Just in case anybody listening does not know, Disney owns both ABC and Hulu, which is where Secret Lives and Mormon Wives airs. So these are all connected. This is going to be a cross-promotional effort. And I just feel like there's probably tons of footage on that cutting room floor that's even worse than what's ever been shown on the show, too. But I find Taylor endlessly watchable. Again, as I say many times, I don't need my reality stars to be perfect. Obviously, there's a line here, and we'll get to that. But I find her also easy to root for on the show. I mean, growing up as a woman in the Mormon church with parents like hers, not easy. And I believe she's ultimately, I don't think this is controversial to say, maybe it is, I believe Taylor's ultimately a good person with a dangerously bad temper who never fully grew up before she had children. That's sort of what I think about her. And I think that her and Dakota have a toxic relationship. It has always been toxic. And they have routinely broken up and gotten back together, broken up and fought and slept together. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. We've, you know, they have, for the past two seasons, the cast has gone on a trip. they have fought and then they have woken up next to each other in bed. You know, she slept with him right before she went on The Bachelorette, which was never going to end in her finding the love of her life, but it was going to be good TV. I mean, she's barely dated before. Like, she wasn't ready for that in terms of actually settling down with somebody. But again, she is a watchable personality. But all of that can be true. And the video that came out of her attacking Dakota, throwing chairs at him. One of the chairs apparently, allegedly hits, I guess, their kid who was sitting right there. It's incredibly tough to watch. And what she does in that video is inexcusable and disgusting and irresponsible and dangerous, all of the things. It goes without saying, honestly. The most horrifying aspect of it is that their kid was in the room and that apparently, again, this chair seems to hit the kid. Again, go watch the video if you feel like you want to. But here's the thing. This incident, which happened 3 years ago in 2023, we already knew all of these details. No, we had not seen the video. I don't even know if we knew the video existed. But this is the same incident that is literally in the premiere of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives season one, the series premiere. The series premiere cuts to her getting arrested for this domestic violence situation. And it's the same incident. And I know that seeing it, again, makes it more real and a ton more people are brought into the fold on this story because Bachelor Nation is a much bigger platform. But again, this is not new. And I say that because, again, ABC knew who they were getting into business with. They knew that choosing Taylor Frankie Paul meant choosing somebody who had been involved in this incident. Okay? So the pretend shock, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. I think it's extremely silly. And this incident is also why so many people disproved of her being the choice for the next Bachelorette in the first place. And my other thing is that why nobody, and Dakota included, should never be subjected to this treatment, physical abuse. We have also seen how terrible he is to her on camera. And I don't believe for a second that he's innocent in all of this. Two things, multiple things can be true at once. And I firmly believe that. If you disagree, you can disagree. This is how I feel about this whole situation. They're both bad to each other. They are toxic to each other. They are probably both abusive to each other. And she's coming out now insinuating that he has also been abusive to her, which he denies. But I don't believe him. I think this was likely, from my view of it, probably an abusive relationship in both directions. And I believe that he was extremely manipulative and provoking of her for years. He knew how to push her buttons and to get her to this place. He's been sitting on this footage for 3 years, and there's zero question in my mind that he was involved in it being conveniently released right before her big Bachelorette moment. He wanted to torpedo this moment. He wanted to take her down. And the thing is, by Dakota taking Taylor down, again, as a result of her own actions, of course. If she had not attacked him, this never would have happened. Okay? I know that. He's also taking himself down. Taylor was the moneymaker not just for herself, not just for their child, not just even just for him as well, for this whole group. He's nothing without her. And that platform that's been built for that entire Mom Talk cast is on the back of the swinging scandal, on the back of her arrest, and on the back of Taylor Frankie Paul. Maybe this was always going to happen, right? Like, if he always had this video, it was eventually going to come out. But again, we knew of this incident. It's such a complicated, gross situation. But I also think about the fact that, like, they have been filming The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives at a really wildly fast pace. They're already almost done filming season five. I guess there were other alleged domestic violence situations back in February, which is what sort of sparked this whole sort of downfall. But it felt like it was operating at an unsustainably fast pace, this Secret Lives situation and production. Again, this is an incident that happened before essentially at the very start of the show. So that didn't trigger this, the fast pace of it, but shit was gonna hit the fan at some point. And this is how it's hitting the fan. And what's wild is that it took the other cast members of the show to say something of like, we aren't gonna film right now. Like, we have to stop this for right now. We're gonna pause. And while I do think they should be documenting the rest of the women's reactions to this right now, it's also kind of interesting that it took the women to recognize that, hey, maybe now is not the right time to film. Anyway, I mean, those are my thoughts. I think both Dakota and Taylor especially need help. They need to be kept apart. They need to both have restraining orders against each other. When they exchange their kid, it should be through a third party. I mean, this is an unsustainable, toxic relationship and situation that if it keeps going, if they are still continue to be given access to each other, this is going to end even worse than this. So, I mean, it's a sad situation. And I have more thoughts, I guess, but I'll spare you and myself before I say anything that I truly regret. I'm sure I already turned some of you off with some of my thoughts on this, but yeah, I don't know. This whole thing, it was avoidable. They didn't have to cast her. They knew about this situation. They had not seen the video, but they still chose to go with her. And now they're feigning surprise. But ultimately, I think this is a consequence of their actions of choosing her. And it's a consequence of her own actions in attacking Dakota. All right. For some more bad news. The Real Housewives of Miami is on pause. Oh my God. You guys. This is why we can't have nice things. You'll hear Ronnie and I talk about it at the end of our chat. It's the last franchise we talk about. And again, we recorded this before this news came out. And I left it in because even though it's seemingly irrelevant now, it's kind of sad to listen back to it, by the way. Like when I was editing it, I was like, oh my God, little did I know. But my thoughts on it still stand. Like I said, like, this is a nearly perfect show. Like, don't fuck with it too much. And fuck with it they are. I first saw it from our queen, Kate Arthur at Variety, who said that sources confirm that Miami is being put on pause by Bravo. And in her article, she noted that it's the least watched of all of the Real Housewives franchises, which is something that I will never understand. Never, 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 never. TMZ also reported on this. They said that sources connected to the series tell us production is not moving forward right now and there are no concrete plans for a new season. Still, the show has not been officially canceled, leaving the door open for a possible comeback. Sources connected to the series tell us production is not moving forward right now, and there are no concrete plans for a new season. Still, the show has not been officially canceled. And then Reality Blurb also got this big exclusive, and they have a bunch of quotes. I'm going to read you stuff from this article as well, which is by Matt Richards at Reality Blurb. While taping for The Real Housewives of Miami was expected to begin earlier this year, those plans never came to fruition. As a result, rumors quickly began circulating, with some claiming the show had been merely delayed and others suggesting it could be facing cancellation. Multiple insiders spoke exclusively to Reality Blurb to confirm what's going on with the show. According to one source in the know, there's some chatter amongst those in the know that RHOM is going to be canceled. There's been trouble with casting. Another complication involves Alexia and Todd. Some of the issues have to do with Alexia due to Todd's lawsuit and how Todd won't be back on the show. Without Todd, her story would be more or less dead, and that would have an effect on the entire franchise. I agree with that. The show cannot exist without Alexia. She is the glue. Another insider echoed similar sentiments, saying they're calling it a pause, but it's going to be a very long pause, which many are interpreting to mean the show is canceled. They went on to reveal the show was originally going to let four of the women go and get four new girls, but at this time they've decided to not reboot it and let it sit. As for why Miami may be struggling, the first source detailed that they feel there are issues with the production company behind the franchise. They really don't understand Miami. They never have. They noted the producers allegedly have their favorite, which they get too personally involved with, which makes casting decisions that the show desperately needs hard. If they're told that so-and-so is the queen of Miami, they just take it at face value. There is no due diligence, and it's usually wrong information. They added that Miami is much bigger than the microcosm of weirdos they have on that show. The only ones who truly represent Miami are Alexia, Lisa Hochstein, and perhaps Stephanie Shoje. All right, so that's a lot of different, you know, details and reasonings and reasons given for this news, which is, of course, devastating. I mean, I posted a million times about it on Threads, and so did everybody else, which was heartening to see. Honestly, it was comforting that everybody was as upset about this news that I was. It's just such a good show, you guys. Like, it's such an incredible cast with deep connections. It's an amazingly produced show, I think. I mean those sources for Reality Blur, I mean, not too much on my ladies. Like, I don't care if you think they're weirdos or they're not representative of Miami. This cast fucking rocks. It's great drama. They had an amazing reunion. They had a headline-making BravoCon panel, which is more than anybody else could really say. What's not to fucking love? I mean, the show has such a distinct vibe and energy. Ugh, it's so good. When I got this news, I thought about the fact that, remember when Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, the road trip, the 20th anniversary season we're getting, the only franchise not represented with an OG cast member in the cast was Miami. And people were like, oh, like Miami's filming soon. That must be why. They did go down to Miami and they had an event there, but Miami filming soon never really added up because Vicky was also on it and Real Housewives of Orange County was filming really soon. So I never really understood that, but I guess maybe we should have seen this as a sign. And I guess the party line is that, you know, Real Housewives of Miami, even though it had bad ratings, like it made up for viewers on Peacock. But I guess that was exaggerated because it's still the least watched one. Which again, how is that possible? My mind immediately went to that Todd lawsuit as well, because casting suddenly becoming an issue didn't really make sense to me. I mean, like, of course they could find four new women in Miami. And like, reminder, literally 1 week before the C News came out, Andy told Danny Pellegrino on Watch What Happens Live not to worry about Miami. And he had also shared similar sentiments on his radio show. So does that maybe mean that this was truly like a decision above Andy, a network decision? Because there are network decisions that Andy is not involved in. Andy is no longer a network executive. He is an EP on all the Housewives franchises, but he doesn't work at Bravo technically. So maybe he truly didn't know that it was in such trouble. And anyway, of course, after I heard this, I asked around, and here's my impression based on who people I've talked to. My impression is that the Todd lawsuit had actually nothing to do with it. That's already been dealt with. It's not a factor in this, from what I understand. And casting was also not really the issue either, according to who I talked to. The general impression seems to be that the combo of the Real Housewives of New York and the Real Housewives of New Jersey figuring out their casts and preparing to jump back into filming after their long pauses essentially meant that, with Real Housewives of Rhode Island also coming, that there were no more spots left. There was no more budget, essentially, for Housewives. What it sounds like is that it was sort of a game of musical chairs. Maybe they didn't expect to figure out Jersey in this latest, you know, effort to as quickly. It sounds like they kind of have. So yeah, I think that their spot was literally taken, and that's sort of the impression that some people have, which I guess I believe. But also, like, does that mean that Miami's pause could be, you know, not 7 years again? It could be a year and a half or 2 years, like New Jersey or New York just had. I guess it probably depends on how things go with these new casts. And as you know, I don't really have that much faith currently in the new Roni reboot, but obviously I'm going to give it a chance. I hope it works for their sake. But if that doesn't work, does that maybe mean the door opens back up for Miami? I kind of hope so. I mean, I'm not rooting against New York, but I'm also rooting for Miami. I mean, the whole thing is such a shame. Miami, it was truly top one, two, or three, arguably, franchises out there. Nobody was doing it like them. I fucking love that cast. I fucking love that show. And for those of us who loved it, we loved it passionately. And I will never understand the people who don't watch it and said they didn't enjoy it, because I find it, oh man, the revival of Miami, we will always have that. What a spectacular run of seasons, truly. God, a big loss for Bravo, if you ask me. All right, the last thing before I get to my chat with Ronnie, we did get the Summer House midseason trailer this week. Some good news. Fantastic. Incredible. The season of Summer House is amazing. You cannot make me think otherwise. Some highlights: Ben's apparent girlfriend comes. The conversation he had with Dara at that one party that she came out for in his bedroom. Bailey tells Lindsay about it, who then tells KJ about it. And she's like, well, they were in there for an hour together, which KJ didn't know. Classic Lindsay bone caring. Again, good for the show. And KJ and Dara are still together. She was there for him on Watch What Happens Live. So whatever drama this results in, it's not too serious. It seems it's kind of giving Toe Suck Gate from last season when Jesse was in that room and nobody really knew what happened. We get some Sierra and West stuff. And you guys, oh, is history repeating itself? I don't know. I'm really upset. We see them kissing and being giggly and cuddly. And then does West fuck it up again? It's very unclear what it is that he does, but it seems like he does. And dude, come on. We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Extremely upsetting, but also aligned with KJ saying on Watch What Happens Live this week that West needs to grow up. So I don't know. We also have the girls encouraging Amanda to separate from Kyle, all while dressed as grandmas, which was amazing. We have Carl confronting Kyle over throwing his relationship away. For what? There's also this like weird moment where it says, where it shows Amanda saying Ben wanted to fuck her in Italy, but something about the editing, I kind of feel like it's a red herring. I don't know if that's, I need to see the context of that is what I'm saying. There is a Lindsay and Danielle friendship drama tease. I mean, I think that was definitely maybe a jump scare for some people to see Danielle in the trailer. I saw some reactions to that. And then the whole Kyle and Carl blow up. I don't know exactly when it's over. Clearly, there was tension rising between them over the investment thing and probably Carl confronting Kyle about his Amanda relationship. So second half of the season of Summer House is going to be fucking just as good as the first, it seems, if not more explosive. So talk about people who are, nobody's doing it like them. The Summer House cast locked the fuck in. What a fucking week, you guys. I mean, that's it for up top here. I'm off to Mexico City for my best friend's bachelor party, which you can follow along with on my Instagram if you care. The fun never ends. As you can also probably tell, I'm a little stuffed up. Hopefully I'm not getting sick. I think it's just too much travel. But next week, I have two interviews for you that I recorded this week with cast members from Summer House and Southern Hospitality. So I think you'll enjoy those. Yeah, I got some good questions in. So for now, keep listening for my State of Every Real Housewives franchise with Ronnie Karam. Go listen to Watch What Happens if you don't already, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. Have a great weekend.
I want to gab.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
All right. Today we are gabbing with Ronnie Karam of Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens just won Best TV and Film Podcast at the Our Heart Podcast Awards at the South by Southwest. Ronnie, congratulations. I'm so excited to finally have you on Gabbing with Gib. I've been meaning to have you on for forever, and I'm so lucky to have you here. How are you?
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. I loved meeting you. I finally got to meet you at BravoCon, and I had not met you yet, which was really weird.
I know.
It's so weird being in the same, it feels like we all work in the same office, so to never meet each other, like for years to go by and us to not meet is so weird. So I was so glad to finally meet you and hug you in real life.
Yeah, we had a good time at the little happy hour before the festivities began. Yeah, it is funny because sometimes, again, we do operate in the same space, but sometimes you're just kind of ships passing in the night with certain people. And I've had Ben on a couple times, but I just, for some reason, we've never made this work. So I'm happy to have you here. I really
am. It's good to be here.
So you won this big, you and Ben won this amazing big award last night. You know, you said you're dragging ass today because it was I hope you celebrated afterwards.
Oh yeah.
Talk to me about how that felt. Cause that's just so major and just such a, validation of all the incredible work that you guys have done in building what you've built.
It's so cool because we never have any idea, you know, I mean, we've been doing it 14 years now. And so we're not used to really, we don't, you know, get by on recognition. Like it doesn't, we don't get a lot. So it doesn't fuel us. You know what I mean? Like we don't need it for breakfast or anything. So we're always so surprised if anything comes up, you know, and then this is just a huge party weekend. So there's so many podcasters and there's just so many, I mean, even agents or ad people that you work with that are like, hey, you remember the Helix Sleep, you know, whatever.
Who could forget
it? Like, oh, hey, girl, you know, like you'll know each other from Zoom meetings.
And right.
So it's kind of like summer camp for adults and like especially weird adults because I feel like podcasting is still so new and it's always changing. And so that's just so cool. I mean, everybody was, you know, everybody who was, the way they did the award show is really neat and just meeting all the different people who were nominated. Because also podcasters, one thing I learned is nobody listens to other podcasts. I mean, if you do one, like the last thing you really want to do probably is listen to people yapping all day. So none of us have any idea what the other does. So that's cool too. You know, it kind of levels the room. There's not a whole lot of snottiness in the room about like who's more famous or, you know, who has more cachet or whatever. Everybody's just nice and glad to meet other podcasters.
Yeah, especially because so often we're operating like from our apartments and just having the face-to-face time is really nice. And I agree about, I listen to non-Bravo podcasts, but I'm just so cognizant of not trying to like subconsciously take anybody's ideas or like, you know, somebody else's thoughts, you know? And so that's definitely very true. So I'm again, congratulations. I just wanted to start out by chatting a little bit about that. Cause that's a really major accomplishment, especially so long into what you guys have built, like to feel like you're getting recognition now. That's incredible. Like it's just,
that's just so cool. Like little things like they, you know, how they play little clips in award show of whatever is nominated. So they were playing little clips of the podcast and then it got to ours and it was so ridiculous. I mean, I thought this is crazy because they actually listened to it. You know, it's like you can tell that whoever, because I have no idea like who nominated us or who's in there that would know it or whatever. And so, you know, little things like that made it feel so much more fun.
All right. Let's do our State of Every Real Housewives franchise. We're going to touch down on all the current ones that are currently airing, filming, just finished, and just kind of see how we're feeling about them. Obviously, we only have one airing right now. That's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It is in the back half of the season. It's kind of crazy, right? Because it felt like there was such a kind of Housewives heavy moment to start the year, I feel like.
Yeah.
But now we're in the back half of Beverly Hills, which is a franchise that I feel like I see more complaints about than praise about personally. How are you feeling about Beverly Hills right now?
You know, Beverly Hills is in a boring era and it's not just this year. It's been years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's very entertaining to me. Like I still laugh at it. I still love all the ladies on it. And we complain as podcasters all the time. Like it doesn't have to all be fighting, you know, because sometimes it just gets to be so like they're trying too hard. You know, like you've got a Tamara in there who's like, we are going to fight every day about, and it just gets so vicious and stupid for no reason. Like I like when people argue over petty things that they really get upset by. And when they cast all these crazies, that happens naturally, you know, so you don't, I feel like you don't need to make it happen. So as podcasters, we're like, stop making it happen. it'll just happen naturally. And so something like Beverly Hills, I feel like, is our wish in that they're not trying to make things happen all the time. And I think it kind of proves a point. It is still really entertaining. So I'm grateful for that show. I think it's great. But I don't know. Like, I kind of go back on the wish a little bit. Like, okay, well, maybe get Lisa Rinna back in there to, you know, start something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned like a Tamara or Lisa Rinna type person. It's like, that to me is what they're missing. Like, just somebody who can just instigate a little bit. And like, it doesn't need to be Salt Lake City level. It doesn't need to be something it's not, like you said. But like, sometimes I just get the feeling that they're all slightly protecting each other, you know, that they don't want to go tread too deep into whatever divorce is happening or talk about the husband or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody like Rinna,
Rinna would rip it up. But yeah, exactly. Like someone like Kyle, you know, you've even got Kyle saying on camera, like, you shouldn't be talking about this on camera. She's like, why are you discussing this on camera? And like, I don't discuss this. Why would you discuss this? And that's a major problem, you know? Mm-hmm. And Kyle's like the queen of that show. And I think a lot of the cast follows her. And there's been such tight alliances on that show. There was the Fox Force 5 for a long time. And as that has gone down, you know, like Sutton is now part of that clique, I think, in her mind. So she's shifting gears and she's because we all know that they don't really accept Sutton.
Yeah.
But she thinks that they do for the moment. So she's trying to play like them and be safe and protect them and kind of protect herself. And it's just like boring. Like, you're the one that would break down over everything. And you can't just be Sutton Brown. Like, that's not a storyline. Becoming a Brown is not a story. I'm sorry. Becoming a Kennedy is a storyline. Becoming a Brown is not.
You're right. And it's funny that you say they all sort of follow Kyle's lead because, you know, I really like Bose. I really like Rachel Zoe. But like, I do think that they have sort of entered the show with parameters around them a little bit in terms of what I don't feel like I know Bose very well almost two seasons into her run. Rachel Zoe's opening up a lot about her divorce. But like, when it gets to like the night that everything happened, she kind of like glosses over it, you know? And
yes,
they kind of are allowed to have those guardrails because I guess Kyle sort of set the tone in that regard. But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, Bose, I think we do know a lot. I mean, I think Bose is just one of those people who's like, I'm in ads, you know?
Yeah.
And when you
That's
know
just
those
her personality.
People, like if you know a theater kid, they're just like, hey, you know, like me, like, you know me the second you meet me without
it's the Helix mattress person from South by Southwest that you were listening to. Right.
Yeah. So I think she's being herself. I mean, her storylines, I mean, you know, like the, you know, baby at 50 and all of that. We've seen that so many times. And I'm not saying it's not genuine, but maybe it's not. Like, I don't really care enough to tell whether it's genuine or not. But I think she's great in the group scenes. And she's the only one who's consistently calling everybody out, which I like.
You're right.
Calling Amanda out, which is great. Rachel's just right now. I think Rachel's like, I'll go back on TV to ruin Roger's life. Like, he thinks he's going to get away with this. I mean, her scenes when she's with her kids and she's like, what are you going to do if she's there? Or when she's like, do you like your dad? And they're like, yeah, he's our dad. She goes, and she just goes, oh. And looks like grossed out that they still like their dad. I think that's so funny. It's endlessly entertaining to me.
Oh, I could watch the Rachel Zoe Project. That's what that tells me. And in the after show, she's calling his girlfriend it, or that person. Like, she's like not even like making it like a human being. So if you had it your way, Ronnie, for the future of Beverly Hills, like what changes would you make?
I think they need a shakeup. I don't think it should be, you know, a Real Housewives of New York reboot or anything like that. But I think Kyle has had a solid 15. Bye. Goodbye. Thank you for your service and everything. I'm not saying that in a hateful way, but she's not going to give.
It's
like
time.
She can't have the storyline she's just had for the past 3 years and show up in her, like, you know, temporary lesbian suit and think it's okay. Like, this is not going to work for me, Kyle. So Kyle, get out. Sutton, I think, has served her time well. And again, I love all the ladies on there, first of all. Sutton, get rid of Sutton. I'm so hard. Well, I love him. Get rid of her. Axe her. Throw her on the
fire. That's how we are.
And who else? Amanda, obviously, is a one and done. Dorit, skating. But I think, you know, Kathy, Rachel, I think Rachel can pretty much anchor this show. I think she's got what it takes. I think people love her and know her well enough to anchor it. I say let Rachel bring in a couple crazies and, you know, keep Kathy and Jennifer as friends of, keep Bose in her current role. Maybe Dorit. Dorit, I think is having a great couple seasons. So I would keep Dorit.
Too. I'm loving this version of Dorit.
Who else is there? Who am I missing in there?
I think that's everyone. Erica?
Erica Friend. I think okay. Erica's, you know, like you did your wallpaper. That was great. We loved it. Looks
loved
great.
Loved that. Riveting. Yes.
Yeah. But, and I think she's doing such a great job in her role as just making smart ass comments and being disgusted with everybody. But if she's not going to show me this boyfriend wearing the Slaughter Things shirt who is like the sheriff of Baghdad or whatever, and I know why she won't.
Yes.
But she's still, if she's not going to share it, then go. Just go.
Right. All right. Yeah. I'm pretty aligned there. I see the vision. I see the vision. All right, Potomac just wrapped Banner 10th mm-hmm. season. There's a lot going on with Potomac. There's the Wendy. There's the Karen. There's all the actual drama on the show. It feels like a healthy franchise to me again. Like it for a while there, it was kind of limping along.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the season now that it's fully done?
Oh, I loved seeing it come back. I loved seeing it refresh, you know, come back to life because it had been a minute. I think it was, still wasn't top tier Potomac. I mean, top tier, but it was missing a Karen and not the, it was obviously missing the Karen, but it was missing a Karen. Like Tia brought a lot, but she didn't bring complete delusion, which is kind of what I expected from her. Stacey's bringing a lot. I think she's great. Giselle's, you know, up to her old tricks. At all times, and Giselle and Ashley up to their old tricks, but they're a little Beverly Hills too, and that they're willing to cause it with everybody else, but not bring their real stuff in. I mean, Ashley's fake storylines are just at Giselle level at this point. Like the boyfriend, you know, the boyfriend who looks like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead that she's obviously dating, but she's pretending not to date to go on some love show that no one's buying that either, any of that. And then she comes back and pretends to break up with him, and then that was all fake. And then Giselle supposedly dating everyone in the world, but we never see them. I mean, so they're still
didn't even get a
kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fake fighting, they were bringing way too much. Like, oh no, Stacey lied about, or she called somebody's husband who's, it's like, shut up. It's that was all so stupid to me. I think the best part of it was how Stacey handled it. You know, it was nice.
Yeah,
to
her
see
reactions or her lack of reactions.
Yes, just smiling through the whole thing and making them look stupid was good. I think that show is really going to have a problem until they deal with the Giselle and Ashley of it all. Because they're just manufacturing too much. And we're too smart as an audience to take it. I mean, those fights are just stupid, I think.
Do you think that if you took one of them out, if you just demoted Ashley or took her out of the equation, does that help it? Or do you think both of them would have to?
I think so, because taking Robin out helped. It really helped Giselle.
It did.
Giselle had a much better season, but now she has what's her buns doing her dirty work. So she doesn't need Robin, Ashley. So get rid of Ashley. I say keep Tia, keep
definitely
Stacey, keep Giselle, keep
Wendy and Karen. There?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, look how Wendy came back to life the second Karen was there, because Wendy had a great season. I mean, for someone who's been villainized for a long time by the audience and frankly has done it to herself a lot, let's face it.
Yeah.
She had a great season. And I think it was because she didn't have anybody questioning her, really. I mean, you had Giselle was like, we're friends now. So Giselle had her foot off her neck and Karen wasn't there. But the second Karen came back to that reunion, it all started. You just saw Wendy start to unravel. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
You
know,
I was cheering. I was like, we're back. We're back, people.
The only person challenging her was like Angel, who had some sort of bone to pick with her the whole time. But like she can handle that easily.
Yeah, Angel. Yeah.
Do you care how much Wendy shows us of like her legal situation in a next season? Like, how much of that do you need to see from her?
I don't expect to see any of it, you know,
right.
And I expect it'll be like an Erica type thing. I mean, she's, you know, how Erica handled it very much. Like, I'm a victim. I knew nothing. She'll probably blame Eddie. They probably made some agreement, you know, she'll probably do an Erica or a Dorit and PK thing where it's like, we're separated. You know, I don't believe any of them anymore. Cause
I know
they're all going to prison at some point and they're just... These are all their machinations, right. their husband-wife machinations keeping each other out of prison. So I've just watched Housewives for too long.
Wendy's been planting the seeds about marriage troubles, quote unquote. You know, the pickup scene was all about their marriage, not the actual crime, you know. So,
and then them showing that scene of her being like, oh, I don't know anything about finances. Eddie does everything. I don't even know who's the electric company. We pay for electricity. You know, they had that whole thing. So, I don't think we'll see a lot of victim-y things, like in the reunion where he talks in the baby voice.
Oh my God, the voice. Ronnie,
the voice is so hurtful. So we'll see a lot of that, but nobody's going to buy it. And they, if she's back on the next season, they will be coming for her.
They will be. But I think she will be back because she needs the money.
Yeah.
So
does
she also
from
clearly
Progressive.
Can't help herself.
Be owing money to flow.
Salt Lake City also just finished. Season 7 is filming. Obviously, Robert Jr.'s passing is a big thing. That's the only thing we've heard about. And it's, terrible. Mary's still involved in the show, it seems. Same cast, maybe plus a new person. I felt like towards the end of the reunion, though, Ronnie, it felt like there was a sort of sense that some of them potentially couldn't move forward with one another. But like this cast, like they will always be able to do that, I feel like, these women. Like they will always find some sort of way forward because they know it's their job.
And they know where they live, too. Like, they know this is it. Like, what are you going to do after this? You know, like, start doing community theater productions of Sound of Music, which is probably the only musical they even allow to be done there. You know, like, they're going to...
And Sundance is leaving. You know, it's like, there's what is there to do?
Sundance is gone. Oh, my God. Lisa Barlow is probably beside herself still.
Yeah.
I know Robert Redford. I love Salt Lake City. I mean, that's my favorite one. I think they're in danger... Same thing. You've got the people trying to control it. You've got one or two people, Whitney and Heather, in this case, trying to control every single thing, get rid of the people they don't like. And it's entertaining in a way. It's like kind of watching a movie, like where the nerdy girl is trying to take down the popular girls. And in the movie, she wins. And it's great. You know, she gets like a glow up, wears different lipstick, changes her hair, stops wearing glasses, and then she wins. Mm-hmm.
Goes on as Beck. Yep.
Heather's not going to. I just don't. Heather, you're not going to win. I mean, even if you get them off the show, you're still going to be. You're still coming off as desperate because she just doesn't have the confidence to be completely herself. And she's just trying to take down these ladies who really. I mean, Meredith and Lisa will take down themselves. They don't. They're crazy enough. They do enough that you can call them on stuff they're actually doing without trying to go so hard to get the audience to hate them. And I think it finally started to turn back on Heather and Whitney. I think the audience bought it through most of the season. And by the end, they were like,
like, let it go. Or like,
at this point,
you weren't even on the receiving end of the plane thing. So why'd you care so much? Like, it's just...
And just finding out that they knew the whole time that the reason Meredith was really mad at Britney was because of all of this like anti-Jewish hate stuff that Britney was in a roundabout way supporting, and they didn't bring it up. But it's all gaslighting Meredith, you know? Yeah. It's like, you can't talk about this on the show, and we're just going to pretend that you're being mean to Britney for no reason. I thought it was just gross, you know? And I think the audience is starting to catch on. And then Heather's notoriously terrible at reunions. So
she had a bad reunion. Bad.
Every reunion is bad. But this one, she really needed to come through and make some points, and she looked even worse. And, you know, I'm not saying Meredith is even innocent of that whole thing. I don't doubt Meredith lost it on the plane and yelled.
Agreed.
But we see her do that all the time. She's Meredith. So why are you going to suddenly be? It's like being mad at, you know, a Hut for suddenly producing pizza. That's what they do. Like, we know that they do that. I came here to eat.
I'm just so curious if the other women could like flip it on Heather, because Heather's never really had her like big comeuppance on this show. She hasn't. Like, she, as you said, she's like really controlled a lot of it. And I'm not saying she deserves a takedown season per se, but like she does. I think people need to give her a taste of her own medicine and see how she reacts, because we haven't really seen that on the show yet in a big way. You know,
I agree. And I think it's hard to do it with Heather because she has no personal connections. You know, she doesn't have a husband. Her kids are gone. She doesn't have any friends outside of what we see. And she doesn't have any story from what we see. So there's really nothing that she's doing that they can latch onto. I mean, everything that they kind of latch onto with each other. It's like, your husband's doing this, your husband's doing that, or you're cheating on your husband, or you and Jen Shah were cheating on the same man, or cheating with the same man on your husband's. Yeah. You know, there's been so much of that. So I think if you meet someone who doesn't have any connections and their life is just basically promoting anti-Mormonism,
right?
You know, fam
being the Leah Remini
stuff.
Of Mormonism.
I mean, I don't know what I would call it. What did you say?
I said she's the Leah Remini of the Mormon Church.
Yeah, you know? She's kind of like the B-team Leah. And right. So she's doing that stuff. And so no one's going to attack that. And otherwise, she's just making up so many things every season to go after people that it's like you're fighting a straw man, you know, and that's hard to do. If she keeps putting up straw men, what are you going to do? But yeah, I agree. She's a bit much. And I think especially since her receipts, poof, timeline,
that thing is
sung more than the YMCA at a
literally
gay karaoke, dude.
Oh, I know. And it just went totally, and the amount of times this season she tried to recreate it and just, it.
Yeah, over and over. Like
it was,
she sings
I found
her
it
greatest
to be exhausting.
Hits.
Yeah, it was really, really tough.
But I think that they feel like, well, she's the star now, so we have to listen to Heather. Like she was in, you know, she got all this coverage. She was on, you know, she was nominated for an Oscar probably for it. Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, let's be nice to Heather.
But like, they don't have to do that. I hope that this season they find a way to flip it on her. I feel like because the cast is so like tight-knit and, or not tight-knit, but just sort of so established, it's been hard to find people who stick. You know, we got Angie, who had her sort of slow rise. But Bronwyn, I feel like, was the big find for this show. Like somebody who you could see being around for 10 more years, you know, and next season is the big change where she's going to be single and she has this hot new boyfriend. She just feels like an important figure for the show. She's somebody who ruffles their feathers and she has the confidence to like stand 10 toes down against them. They needed her. For this show.
They did. And she also knows how to lie just like them. And she with such confidence and she does not care. She's better at getting out of it because the rest of them get so flummoxed. And if you accuse them of something, you know, but you come for Bronwyn, she will accuse you. She'll find a way to gaslight it, change it, or literally change it and make everyone feel crazy. And it works. It's amazing.
It does.
It's a skill. So, yeah.
She's very good with her words. Very good.
She is. And none of them are true. And that makes me crazy about her sometimes. But
me too.
I mean, I've grown to really respect her, even though I don't. I mean, someone with that many crazy outfits and just that much money and just her, you know, her reads, I would expect her reads to be so much better and more. I would expect her to be more iconic in like a she would have more gifts out there or something like that. And she doesn't really have that, but she does give the fashion. She does give crazy pathological lying, but still manages to keep the audience overwhelmingly on her side. And so she's scaled. I'll give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I'm like, what's a Bronwyn one-liner? You know, does she have any that have stuck?
None. Yet? I mean, on Crappens, I said that one time and someone said, what are you talking about? Bronwyn doesn't have one-liners. Remember that time she said it was on my credit card? And I was like, no,
I can't tell you when
really
that happened.
I had to really think about it. I had to like Google it. And it was, I think, during the plane thing. Like, well, she got first class. I don't know. They were fighting. She's like, well, it's on my fucking credit card. Well, that's not, I'm sorry.
Well,
no,
I'm
drag
sorry.
Queen is doing that, you know?
No. It's like, she's not... I appreciate so much about her, but she's just not the type of housewife that I naturally gravitate towards as a viewer, you know? But
yeah,
that's more like a Lisa or Meredith for me personally on this.
Me
this
too,
cast.
Yeah.
But,
well,
you know,
gay icons are, you know, like
exactly.
A little crazy in a way that she's not. But I am glad she's on the show.
I appreciate her. Yeah, for sure.
She makes me crazy in a non-offensive way. Like, I don't leave feeling icky, you know?
No. She's not problematic. How do you feel about Brittany still being in the mix after two seasons as a friend?
I love Brittany. I mean, I think Brittany's, love her. I love her on the show. I think she's a great punching bag. And I hope nobody ever respects her because I think it's just so funny. Just because we all know that desperate person. Like, she doesn't even care about anyone. She just wants to be on TV so bad. Mm-hmm. And they know it. And I just think it's hilarious just watching them trip her over and over again.
Over and over and over again. Yeah. And then Heather and Wendy pretending to care about her, you know, in this back half of the season.
To use her as a weapon.
Exactly. All right. The next one coming up is Real Housewives of Atlanta. Have you watched the premiere yet?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
I hold it all until we recap it because I don't want to, I want it to be fresh.
I tend to do that too, but I decided, I was curious about Atlanta, so I watched it. It's pretty good. It's pretty solid. We have two new people, Kay Michelle and Pinky Cole. There's a lot going on in Atlanta again in a way that, again, for a couple years there, like, this show was not in good shape at all. I don't think it's back to, like, glory days Atlanta by any means, mm-hmm. but it feels more part of the conversation, more entertaining than it was for a couple years there. Where are you sort of landing with it now?
That's good to hear. I think they had a pretty solid restart last season with their reboot. You know, they also had some big missteps. I mean, Britt Eady was oof.
Terrible.
I mean, even without the Kenya stuff happening and blowing up to the point that it did, which kind of ruined it, not good. Just not a good fit for this. Just gross. And
a liar,
behavior-wise, obviously. Yeah, just not the right fit. Atlanta seems like it would have such big, hilarious personalities. And that's always been what confuses me about this show. I understand that you just can't go find NeNe, right?
Right.
NeNe is like a once in a lifetime talent. Like, I get that she's not on every corner, but Kelly?
I know.
Britt Eady? Like, what? Watch your seasons. Watch all of your seasons of your show and then tell me that that's except, like, you have to make an effort, especially when you're not, when you don't have Candy anymore. You don't have any of the OGs. You know, Kenya hasn't been doing as much even while she's been on the show the past few years. She's not wanting to show up. Yeah, she's not wanting to do anything. So they've needed some good casting. So I have my fingers crossed for sure. I thought the last season was pretty good. I do like Charles's wife, Angela.
Angela.
I think she's really funny.
She's the Stacey of this. She's like a great find. Could be there forever. You know, you could see just the arc. You can envision it, right?
Like the wig coming off in the heat and the, you know, little fan, like her first business was like a little Fangela, because she was always sweating because of menopause, which is so Housewives.
Right. She's old school. She's like, she feels old school Housewives in a really positive way to me.
Yes. Like innocent shenanigans, you know, like when she already turned into a major housewife. You know, the paranoia, it takes a couple years for it to really set in and then to be like, well, really? Well, I'm going to go to a blogger or I'm going to go to that restaurant manager and I'm going to find out that. And she's already bringing in waiters and restaurant managers. And it's already so cuckoo that I think she's excellent. She's solid.
I totally agree. But I do agree about Kelly. And I think Shamia started so strong last season, but you're not going to like them in this premiere. They're just doing a little, they're like trying a little too hard. They're doing a little too much.
Like Shamia,
that classic second season sort of like, where are you leaning in? Are you just going to continue being yourself? And it feels like they're leaning into what they think people want from them, which feels really corny, you know?
Yeah.
Which is tough.
That's rough. I think that was a big misstep last season in trying to rebuild it around Shamia. I get that she's rich and we love rich people on these shows. I mean, it's about opulence, I guess, but
it's not the most important thing at this point, though.
Yeah, she wasn't strong enough to lead it. And I think that that season was limping by the end.
Yeah, I think Portia is more game than like Kenya was towards the end there. I think Portia feels renewed more so. And I think especially with Phaedra there, I think that helps Portia. Like she feels like she has that like kind of old school ride or die with her. But yeah, I totally agree. And somebody who also, like, I don't know how you feel about her. I used to really have a tough time with Drew. But all of a sudden, in the past, like, I don't know, year and a half, I find that I kind of look forward to watching her on the show because she's not telling the truth a lot of the time still. But, like, it goes down easier for me now for some reason. Maybe it's because she finally split from What's-His-Face. But, like, you know, there's something about her that feels better now to me.
I agree. And I think Drew is genuine. I mean, she's genuinely phony, you know, but they're like, again, it's like we all know people like that. It's like a very showbiz. Like in her mind, she's the biggest star in the world and she's got paparazzi in the bushes waiting for her to come outside. It's the delusion. And we need that. There always has to be like a Countess Luann level character. And she's that. And I think she's great. Portia is a diva and I love Portia. I think Portia is one of the funniest people. And having her back with Phaedra, I love Phaedra too, even though, you know, she had her issues. But Portia, I think, learned her lesson. You know, she got let go from Housewives for not doing anything and not showing up and then coming 3 hours late to stuff every time and then refusing to engage when she did. So it seems like she came back ready to play, and I cannot wait to see her lesbian storyline. I'm so excited. Because do you remember on Girls Trip when Pepsi was like, I predict you're going to have a problem with a lesbian. And she's like, what? And they all started cracking up. And he's like, it was on Reddit today. That's how I remember.
Oh, my God. I haven't. I don't. I didn't remember that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
TBT to like, Pepsi. Yeah,
you will have a problem with the lesbian. And they're like, what?
Wow.
And so Pepsi. I love a good
interesting. It hasn't. I don't think it's become a problem yet, but
it will.
He's halfway know, there.
Pepsi
said yeah, we know. Uh-huh. Listen to Pepsi. Wow. Fly him back out to Atlanta. I'd love to imagine. I just feel good about Atlanta compared to where I was with it 4 years ago. You know, it's like we have Portia, Phaedra, Cynthia back on the same show together. And I feel like it's like we have Nene orbiting. We have Kim orbiting. We have Sheree orbit. Like, it feels like they could bring any of these sort of people back when they decide to. And then like the idea of like in a year or two, having even more of these people back together on the same show just kind of feels like heaven to me.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta has the toughest road to hoe, I think, because it was, to me, the best. I mean, like, the all-time best Housewives. The first seven years?
Yeah.
I mean, so many years of just being so funny, like, well above the other ones. And it's not like the other ones weren't great. I mean, there have been so many good ones. New York, classic. Beverly Hills has had some classic. All of them have had classic times. But Atlanta was just far and above the funniest one. And the most original, the most unique out of all of them. And even if you look back on the seasons when the fandom was like, this sucks now, you know, like when it started to tank, I think was when Nene was going through a rough time in her own life, but also just became unbearable on the show. I mean, she was such a diva and she couldn't, you know, wouldn't film with anybody, was so far up her own ass that it was ruining everything. But if you look back on those seasons, they were still really good comparatively, you know,
it's I'm sure.
Oh, we were complaining. Why were we complaining?
We still had Nene.
So good.
Yeah. Nene alone in her house is enough for me. So,
yeah. But I'm just glad to see it coming back. And I'm glad they keep working at it. I really respect Bravo for that because for the fact that it's still going for 20 years, these shows are still going and they're still so good. They're still so good. I mean, I actually still love watching the shows.
Love. And they've really adapted. They've had their moments where they haven't, but I feel like generally speaking, they've adapted with the times pretty well too. And kind of, I don't know, just giving people what we want, but without it being like total fan service. I don't know. I think that they've done a very good job.
Almost too much of like going with the times. Like they've almost toned it down. Like the new New York, I think, is a lesson in going too far and trying to please commenters.
Yes,
and that's dissenters.
Yeah, and we'll get to that's coming up. But like, I totally agree with you. Rhode Island is the next one coming. We have nothing to say about it because
it's going to be amazing.
Not seen it, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Like I'm so excited.
I'm amped for it.
It's going to be good. There's no way that's not good after those.
No
previews.
Way. No way.
Every scene in the preview is good,
and they've been hyping it up too. So I'm just excited for Rhode Island.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of 20 years, Real Housewives of Orange County. Season 20 is filming. Vicky's back, as we all know. I guess they were just on a cast trip to Vegas. I try not to pay too much attention to like the where they're spotted and like what leaks from filming and stuff like that. Katie's the only person not returning from season 19. I guess additionally Gretchen as well. But what are your hopes for season 20, especially with the Vicky factor? What does it look like for you?
Well, Bravo, I swear to God. It's like I go from like, God, Bravo, thank you for everything you've given us to being like, God damn it, like, you get rid of Gretchen to bring in Vicky. Like, are you crazy?
I know.
You're getting rid of one of the most problematic. That storyline was so problematic. And the fact that they all knew it, everybody knew it. Everybody who has Instagram knew all this before the season started.
Exactly.
We've all seen the comments. We've all seen the likes. We've all seen who she follows. We all knew this. They still chose to bring her back and had an agreement not to bring it up on the show because probably a lot of people are conservative or whatever. And they're like, well, those people exist. It's not like, and I'm not even saying don't cast a conservative person just because that's not my political belief. It's not that. It's the problematic, hateful stuff, you know?
Yes.
Not every conservative is like that, I would hope. But when you hire somebody like that and then just pretend it's not happening, I mean, I've lost all faith in Heather now because Heather's acting like, what? Oh, I've never heard this. And how could you do this? Like, you didn't, you knew this whole time and you were complicit. And I don't even want to hear it from you either. So the fact that they got rid of her and now they're bringing in Vicky, who's like 10 times, she ain't going to hide it either. She's not going to be like Gretchen and deny it. She'll be like, screw you. So interesting choice, but she is an OG and it's the 20th year. So. At the same time, I'm saying we have to kind of have some of the problematic faves around. I don't know. Is that a step too far? I mean, I honestly don't know. I'll just have to wait and see. What do you think?
I mean, it's also just like OC, they brought back Gretchen, Alexis. They brought in Taylor Armstrong. None of those really worked, right? Like, I guess Alexis, when they added her, like, did activate Shannon in this crazy, like, that was a good season of Housewives, I thought.
Yeah.
But like that, there were sort of, they were all one and done. And so I'm curious how production sort of learned their lesson from those three things. And now that Vicky's going to be a full time person as well, like, what does that look like? And how do they really make sure that she works? Or is this intended to be a one season return? And then it's like, all right, bye again. You know,
I don't know. Because one thing that they've really done that you were just touching on, and that I think is really funny, and I like the tradition that they've started, where they'll bring back someone old and then beat up on them literally for a year and then fire them. And right. Taylor wasn't from this show, but Taylor, you know, she was Beverly Hills and stuff. And it's like, they're like, bring on a guest star,
right.
Embarrass the hell out of them, and then get rid of them again.
So
or
tough.
Let Tamara eat
it's
them alive.
So tough.
It really is. It's like a new thing that they do literally every year now. And I think it's the funniest tradition. The Alexis season in particular was hilarious. I thought it was very good.
I thought it was a good season of Housewives.
Yeah. This last one, you know, this is another one that for some reason I always love this show. I guess because it's, I give it the respect for being the OG, but also it's just, this one was never exciting in the beginning. It was,
right.
Housewives started out very boring. It was like a weird documentary, you know. I remember one of Vicky's first scenes was like, you know what we do at Orange County? We wash our cars. Every day, we wash our cars. We love to wash our cars. I was like, what is this? Why am I watching this? But I still watch the whole thing one day. I just loved it. It didn't become crazier till Tamara, and then it all went crazy. So there's so much history there. But no matter what happens, I somewhat like it. I even like the COVID season with Elizabeth, the cult member, and, you know, who owned the dinner theater that was purchased by the billionaire husband. And I loved all. I thought it was so funny. The trouble is Tamara is the best and the worst because she just is like we were talking about with the other, like the Heathers or the, you know, not Kyle.
Giselles,
the people who are just making stuff up and being mean because they think that's what we want. You know, Tamara, when she's producing, but, you know, calmly producing, you know, calmly, but she just takes it to a level that's gross. And I think that they've gotten rid of her before because of it. And she's getting close.
Yeah, she is. She is. And it's interesting because she is probably one of the most sort of in tune housewives with what is being said online because she has the podcast with Teddy. And so like, she's like so aware of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to still sort of mismanage that for herself, despite all of that is so interesting to me. Like she really can't help herself, but it's like, they need to just rein her in like 20%. I don't know. Like there are moments where it really works, but there are some moments like, I mean, even bringing up the Gretchen stuff at the very, like the way that she brought it up, like the very end of the season, like it was like so perfectly like planned, but too perfectly, right? It was like too, I don't know.
What was fascinating was how you could see her struggling with production because she knows what she's doing. And so they obviously had an agreement. Gretchen is coming back. We're not discussing.
Yeah.
These likes and we're not going to discuss it. That had to have been an agreement because anybody else would have brought that on any other Housewives show. That would have been brought up immediately because again, it was hundreds of them and it was no secret.
And it was everywhere.
So there was obviously some kind of an agreement, and Tamara was losing control because they were turning against Tamara, and she was like, "I'm going nuclear then," because we saw her quit. You know, in the New Orleans trip, she walked off set, had a fit. They somehow got her to come back. So she came back and she was just not playing ball. She was going to do whatever she wanted. And she's like, I'm going nuclear. I'm using the nuclear option. And that's it. And then Gretchen tried to do her, well, we know the blogger. And the blogger said that it was Tamara who was leaking the thing. It's like Slade on a voice changer or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, she tried to play it. But ultimately, you're going to lose that one. But, you know, and I'm fascinated that they brought her back, actually, because it seemed so obviously that this was a huge fight between Tamara and production, and Tamara won in the end.
And also, like, never forget that, like, I mean, we're losing Katie from last season, but, like, Tamara was, like, planting the seeds for this, like, faux friendship with Katie to come back for season 20 and be her one ally and to be the one who, like, that's where she was trying to, go with the fans and try to be like, all right, the fans want Katie back, so I'm going to be her ally. Yeah. Well, Katie's not coming back, so that was all for nothing.
And but Tamara knows how it works, and she knows that Katie could be back. You know, everyone can back at some point. So
that's
even when they're off the show, I mean, Lizzie's still out there. Lizzie, the bikini designer, is still out there. Gretchen has still been on the periphery ever since she left. Befriending whoever's new, they befriend them, they take them out to dinner. I mean, we heard so much of it this season where it's like that was one of the plots of the season. They went out to dinner before Gretchen and Slade were even back on the show and were gossiping about this, you know, whether they were she was drugged or not that night.
Right.
You know, she's always been working the new cast members. So I think Tamara knows very well that anyone in that world could come back again and they're still playing politics, you know?
Mm-hmm. But she has to
be careful.
That's
why it's so fascinating, right?
I know, it's so fascinating. Like, I think about all the time with, like, the traitors, is I'm like, Housewives is a game, too. Like, I know they're not gamers, but, like, it's such a game, and Tamara's the most emblematic of that. All right, Roni, we alluded to it. We have Cy, Aaron, and Jessel coming back. We have the three newbies. And this newbie, Haley Glassman, who, like, was, like, girl with no job, came out with some DMs that she had sent her, and she's very chaotic and problematic, and people are like, oh, I bet she'll be another Lizzie, whatever, she's not gonna even start the season, they're gonna kick her out before filming. No, the issue with the Roni reboot, or one of the many issues, was that they were too buttoned up. They didn't have enough of this chaos. They didn't have enough of the sort of divisiveness that we need on Housewives, and now here it is on a silver platter for the rest of the women to talk about this Haley woman. They better go for it. You know, you have some of the material, like, use it.
Yeah, let me tell you, Bravo will stick with a stinker. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, they will try and retool it. And I get why they would do that. You know, the Real Housewives of New York is their baby. It's their home city. They want it to be good, and they will not admit that they're wrong. And I don't think it's a plot mistake. I don't think it's plots. I don't think it's the ladies not trying. I think it's the ladies are not Housewives material. They're just not. I think they were trying to do a new take on Housewives. Like, okay, this is what, if we're going to go for another 20 years, we're going to need to do this differently. We can still be Housewives, but it doesn't have to be crazy people fighting all the time. It needs to be normal people who are just rich and have lunch. No. It's not what it needs to be.
No.
It's not. You cannot keep adding.
Bravo fans don't want that.
You can't. We don't want it. You are what you are. You know, stop trying to be something else. So this one, every year, though, I start this show off with a positive attitude. I want to like the show.
Of course.
But girl, by the end, they just fry me. By the end, I'm just furious. Both seasons, I've been furious. So then this year, they got Lori Gordon, right? Is that her name?
Yeah.
From Salt Lake City. So she came over to this one. But again, she has the crazy cast. So without that, so a lot of it's just going to depend on the new people. Cy will play with whoever she's given with. I think Cy has proven that she can be really funny. She can fight. She can do all the things they want. Aaron's, I just don't think, going to work. But there's always kind of a drip, right, on the shows. So she could work if everybody else is crazy. And then
Jessel.
I'm so sorry, Jessel, who is my favorite one on there right now. So, of course, I forget her name. Jessel, I think, is great as kind of like a side funny person, you know? But
I don't think she's an amazing housewife in terms of what it demands of you in that way, right? Like, it's
Yeah, she's got the snottiness. She's got a lot of sarcastic remarks and judgments on the other ladies. And I think that's great. And her whole like trying to get her kids into a preschool because she wants to meet Tom Cruise's children. And Tom Cruise's children are like grown. Like, she's so silly, you know?
I can't.
I think that's funny. But, you know, they just need some really strong talent. Does Hayley Glassman looks promising? Because I didn't follow this whole story. I saw some of it. I just was like, she's mean to a Instagram person. I didn't really get it. I read some of it and she's like, this woman has been body shaming me or was that what it was?
Yeah, she was like
body shaming me or something.
But it was like this weird thing, Ronnie, where it was like what she was saying was so like overtly body shaming her, but the tone of it almost felt like she thought that she was being nice to her. It was this really weird
that's
thing.
What I
and I was like,
up.
Okay, well, that's housewife's delusion.
That's
like
Ramona.
This woman can't see herself. You know, like she is acting this one way and she clearly values like, you know, like being skinny and like being rich. And like, that's probably what she only cares about. And she's trying to be nice to somebody else by helping them get to that, I guess.
Yes.
But I'm like, whatever fucked up like way of explaining that to herself, I want to see her explain that on camera. You know, like, I want to understand that. And that it's intriguing to me. I'm not that I back up anything she said, but, you know, I want that kind of.
So I think then I read it right, because I just read some of the comments and this lady, Haley, was like, what? I was just commenting on her blog. Like, are you going to sue me for commenting on your blog? And then this girl was posting stuff that she wrote her and she'd be like, wow, you know, and I just do it in Ramona voice because to me, I was like, this is young Ramona, you know, and she's like, whoa, you know what? Now you're skinny. Good for you. You finally lost some weight. Whoa, would you get a GLP-1? Keep taking it. Double it. Take more of it. You know what? Have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you can even stand it. You're not so ugly today. Whoa, you're so much less ugly today than you were yesterday. Happy birthday. And it comes with the way.
Yes, that's the vibe.
It was so funny. And obviously, it's horribly mean. It's not funny because it's
of course
true. I mean, this girl seems like such a sweetheart and she's so pretty, you know, this girl she's talking to. But it was just so funny to me because it was classic Ramona having no, like you said, not seeing herself at all. So she's very
that's
promising.
That's probably why they cast her, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she dated John Gosselin, for God's sakes. Like, you have to be fucked up to do that, you know? So
yeah, God, imagine what his DMs were like.
Oh, God. What do you, are you excited for Carol to come back as a friend?
No, and what awkward timing. I mean, this Epstein list stuff is crazy. And to be trying to get good PR for New York and then announcing Carol Radziwill literally like the week after the Epstein files leaked or whatever, or were publicized. I guess they didn't leak, but they were put out there for everybody. I mean, odd business decision, you know. Carol was never really, I liked Carol on her seasons. I thought she was funny. She brought a lot of good Greek chorus type commentary to the show. I don't know that I need to see her with a bunch of really young women, because that's kind of Carol's thing anyway. Like, oh, look, I'm like 30 and I sit on my countertops and I ride on the handlebars of boys' bicycles. Like, that was kind of her thing. And so I think it's going to be awkward, but I think just PR wise, it's going to be worse. It's like when they decided to do something in Dubai. No matter how you try to shine that, and that was a good show. The season 2 was very good, I thought, of Dubai. But no matter how you try to shine on that show, you're putting a show out about a pretty problematic place, you know? So, I don't know, interesting business choice. I guess we're going to have to see how it works.
So you don't view it as like a, like to me, like all the, one of the biggest issue with the reboot is that it has no connection to the original run of the show. It feels like obviously it's a totally new cast, no connection. So Carol does not represent enough of a connection to that to make it sort of worthwhile.
Carol wasn't really iconic. You know what I mean? If you're going to bring somebody back from the original, you have to get somebody. I mean, you have to get one of the five, right? Bethany, Ramona,
Sonia,
Luann, Sonia,
Dorinda.
You have to get one of them. Otherwise,
my theory is they wanted Carol and Dorinda.
You know?
I kind of think they wanted Dorinda too.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I think is because Carol and Dorinda are friends. Dorinda's sort of still in the mix a little bit with like Bravo in general. So I kind of feel like they wanted her too, but maybe it just didn't work out. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
They're pretty tight-lipped about that show. You know, you don't really ever hear I never hear anything about it.
Which, like, but I'm also just like, I mean, my expectations are so low. I feel the same way that you do about the first two seasons of the reboot. But like, if you are convinced you can make a good show out of this with the new showrunner, with the new women, go film the show. Like, go do it. Show us, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, look, Bravo does enough stuff that we idolize. Right. Well, like, we criticize because we're fans and we want it to be
good. Of course,
we care. And obviously we think it's a good network because we literally both of us obsess over it every day of our lives. So, yeah, I mean, if it's them and they're telling me it's going to be good, then at some point maybe it's going to be good. I don't know.
Right.
Like, we don't all get it right the first time. You know, Lord knows I didn't.
Yeah. I just inability to like admit that anything's wrong with it publicly is like, that's what's frustrating. I feel like I'm being gaslit sometimes around the new Roni, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Because they really play that one up. I mean, Andy always comes out and he's like, oh, the new season of Beverly Hills. You know, like right now he's saying, oh, Beverly Hills, you know, it's like maybe a slow start, but the second half of this season is
the Italy trip.
It is off the chain, everything. Nothing is happening on this show. Why are you, do you think that I'm going to just think it's happening because you're telling me that on the TV, sir? It's not happening. Stop lying to me.
Yeah.
And they do that with New York. With New York, they're like, this is amazing.
But it's just like, it's not amazing. It's just
we'll tell you. We'll tell you.
Yeah, honestly.
And also, special mention, I'm sure you love this show. I know it's not Housewives, but Ladies of London.
Oh, my God.
So we know they can still do it. You know,
totally.
They've still got it.
Ladies of London, right out of the gate. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And why? Because they got crazy people who don't give a fuck. They do not care. And they are going to say whatever they want to. And if they offend you, they will laugh in your face and call you poor. And that's it.
Martha and Kimmy will say whatever the fuck, whatever the fuck they want. Mark will say whatever the fuck he wants. Like, yeah, 100%. Jersey, not much to say, but the latest rumor is that it's Teresa, Melissa, Dolores, and these three new people I've never heard of before.
Yikes, that's not, I don't think that's wise. I think they should keep everybody. I love Jersey. I don't think Jersey was a problem.
What an overreaction this whole thing has been.
And it's got to be hard for production working with Teresa refusing to film, you know, blah, blah. But of course, Teresa's the hardest one and they're going to keep her because she's like the star of it, you know. But I say keep them all. I loved that they had that. They hated each other so much by the end. They couldn't shoot together. They had to shoot the reunion at Rails and then have both sides in different rooms. And then you had Dolores just drinking everyone's drinks after they left, like
going
the dog
back and
mother.
Forth.
I thought it was hysterical. I love that show just the way it was. I think all of the ladies on it are great TV and they're all unique and they will say whatever they want and not give a fuck too.
Yeah.
And I think they should just keep that one as it is. Jen Aiden too. Bring Jen Aiden and her Jersey Mike's hating ass on there too. I thought she was great
Jersey
too.
Mike's
bring them all.
Hating ass. Bring them. She tried to like produce her own episode with that Jersey Mike stunt, you know? Yeah.
Okay, not going to give me a tuna. Oh, yeah.
I love
this guy. Yeah.
Loved it. I think that deserves 10 more seasons with the same exact cast.
It just felt like that was a reaction to, I mean, I guess it was kind of a liability maybe for them, but like it felt like it was a reaction to people saying it was too divided.
But the Jersey audience is also the craziest. I mean, they're
totally.
The most, in comments and stuff, you see the tone change between the shows, you know, like Atlanta has funnier comments. They just do. Like they're funnier.
Potomac is similar to Jersey too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think
do
so.
Do they get really ugly in the comments for Potomac? Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I read a lot of the Jersey ones and they're just above and beyond everything else. I mean, the way people attack each other personally over... when they don't agree, it's like, you like Margaret? Oh, fuck you, you fucking, you know, I'm like cursing each other out and your children are ugly too, you know. I think that when the network hears it and they're like, oh my god, they really hate it, it's like, no, it's just how the fandom is, you know?
Yeah, totally. I'll never forget being at that Jersey panel 2 years ago when Jennifer and Teresa got in a verbal altercation with a fan during the Q&A at their panel.
I forgot about that.
Fantastic. That tells you everything you need to know, you know?
Yeah.
Out of your seats, pointing, like, edge of the stage. Fantastic. Really fantastic.
They're classics. Keep them.
the last one, Miami. To me, again, a show that is like pretty perfect. Like it to me, it's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like there are the rumors are that Julia and Gertie are out. I would not be mad at that personally. But like otherwise, I'm just sort of like, this is a cast full of stars. They're gonna make good TV. I'm entertained by them.
Yeah.
Let them cook, kind of thing.
I 100% agree with you. I think that's the other best one of the year. I think Miami and Salt Lake City this year were the best. And I'm devastated. You know, and I know a lot of it's ratings and, you know, you read comments for that. And sometimes people are like, I just don't understand what they're saying. It's like, oh, fuck off.
Oh, that
you
know, is so
I hate reading stuff like that.
Jesus.
Because I think it's so funny. I think they're all so unique. They all are just so themselves. I think that one gets into trouble with some behind the scenes stuff. You've got Mariel and Alexia always causing some kind of stuff that's way darker than it ever is on the show. Like the allegations that Mariel was sending private eyes after people. And she didn't even seem to deny it that well. I was like, so this, everybody just knows it. You've heard it for years, but they brought it up at the reunion and she was just like, nuh-uh, prove it. She said, prove it.
Prove it.
So she's obviously guilty. And I think it just, they take it too far. They get, that's what these shows do to them, though. You know, it makes them crazy and they feel like they have to go for each other. And we need something to, that girl had the nerve to disrespect me. So I'm going to find out every person that her husband cheated with. And I'm going to find out every bad business deal that her husband's ever done.
Every Haitian mortician that she cheated with. Uh-huh. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
And they just, it makes it too dangerous. And then you've got Alexia's guy suing the network. They don't, mm-hmm. they've already got so many lawsuits, they don't need another thing. And so they're like, well, she's a problem now. And I don't know, but you guys, this is part of what you do. That's it's part of playing the game, you know?
Yeah,
it's, you got to handle it.
They're always telling some sort of line. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'd be such a shame if they like tried to make some big swing change to Miami when like I just don't think it needs that. Like Julia and Gertie, I think, were sort of sticks in the mud this past season, but like, so maybe you can replace them, I guess. But like the core people on this show,
and I love Gertie now so much too, because she's been on it a while now. And I think she handles the ladies really well. I think she's really good at being like, okay, you know what? Okay, I'm back. I'm very supportive of you. Okay, Larsa, I love your new jewelry dildos. I love them. They're great. Earrings for dildos. Great idea. She can get back on the train and play ball. Julia just went too far trying to be friends with these other people and just got too gross. I don't need to see Julia anymore.
No, I'm good on her.
And turning on her friend like that. I think when someone turns and they try to get the other one off and it becomes a battle to the death, the one that wins and the other one's dead. Get rid of them. Drag them off the arena, you know? And I think Julia lost that one. But otherwise, I loved every even the evil ones, Alexia and Mariel. I mean, Mariel is evil as hell. I believe it. I believe that she practices dark magic on people. I believe that she probably has little dolls with people's faces. That she rips their ears off or whatever. I believe it. And I still love her. I want her there all the time. She had the best season she's ever had. She toned down the, I'm a drunk.
Right, the cockies.
She toned down the prop work.
She did.
And I think she finally had a good, strong season. Adriana killing it as always. You can never bring that woman down. Alexia is still one of the funniest blonde bombshell bimbos on TV. Fantastic. Gertie, hilarious. The whole thing where she was putting all the texts up on the screen at her own breast cancer awareness party was so good. It was so funny.
Larsa is my delusional queen.
Larsa is more amazing than ever. Yeah, DeLarsa. the new chick, Stephanie, was a rough start, but ultimately became one of my favorites.
If she's decent at Housewives. Great. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I hope it's just another rumor mill kind of thing that nothing's actually going to happen to the show, because it feels like our baby, you know, like I feel like as fans, we want to protect
our
my
old baby.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Our Benjamin Button baby.
Honestly, not now. Oh, my God. Well, Ronnie, that takes us to the end of our State of Every Real Housewives franchise. I feel like we're in pretty good shape here, generally speaking, right? Like,
I think so, too.
People can be pretty doomsday about Housewives sometimes, but I'm like,
they always are. You know, the fandoms,
most of these franchises are in good shape. relatively speaking. So
yeah, I think Bravo fandom is all about complaining and arguing because that's what we get from the shows. And so I think we emulate that sometimes with each other and complain and whatever. But that nonsense has always been part of these shows.
Yeah.
Back when I was a blogger 15 years ago, 16 years ago, and these shows were in their infancy, there were thousands of comments. I just was like, what are these people arguing about? They would be like, well, she didn't invite her to her thing. And then she came an hour late. And there would be 1,000 comments of people fighting to the death over these stupid things. It's just part of how we are as a fandom. And we were thinking, we did the crappiest this year where it's like a Bravo award show. So we're awarding things. And we were talking amongst ourselves as we were getting it together. And we're like, how is this still so good? I mean, just looking at like the best Bravo celebrities of the year, the best storylines of the year, the best one-liners of the year. I mean, Gout Dick Sucker.
I mean, come on. They're still giving us classics. Like, come on.
Like, so yeah, I think it's still killing it.
How do you, last question for you, how do you not let like the chatter or what people are saying online about the shows impact how you think about them, or like or do you let that influence you at all? Like, how do you separate that at all?
Well, I think just to do what we do, you have to have a pretty strong opinion anyway, because no one wants to listen to a wuss, you know?
Right.
And I think there are, you know, probably people that just listen to whatever the commenters say, and people do like an echo chamber, but I'm not an echo chamber kind of a person. These shows because they are about strong women who are who they are no matter what. And that's what I've taken from it. Like, that's the inspiration I've taken from it in my own life. And so I'd say whatever I want, and, you know, you just have to be prepared for people to disagree with you. And you have to know that in Housewives world, they will tell you to fuck off and that you're stupid.
Yeah.
If they don't agree with you.
You'll get a one-star review, and that's okay. You know?
Yeah. And that's just part of it. But the opinions are so varied. I mean, it's almost like if you Google your opinion, you can always find someone to agree with you. You know, like I don't always have the popular opinion. I've thought Bronwyn is full of shit from the beginning. And a lot of people didn't start coming onto that until this year or, you know, midway through. Or Kyle Richards, season 2, I was like, I'm done with her. She's horrible. She's a manipulator. And I've just stuck with it. I don't care. People disagree with me all the time, but it almost fuels me because I'm like, you'll see one day.
Yeah, you'll see the truth.
That I
you'll
know.
See the truth.
You'll see. You'll all see. That's part of the fun of it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, watch what crappens. The iHeart Podcast Awards TV and Film Podcast of the Year. Are you guys covering every show on Bravo right now?
I think right now we are.
Wow.
Yeah. Married to Medicine is about to start its 3-part reunion. Those are always gold.
Always. Some of the best reunions.
See, what the Below Decks.
Southern Hospitality. Are you doing that?
That show is amazing. Do you watch that?
Oh, my God. Oh, obsessed. A day one truther of that show. I've seen
us
the vision.
Too.
Yeah. I saw the vision. Uh-huh.
Gold. I think Vanderpump Rules is showing some promise. I thought that was a pretty smart reboot how they did that. Let's see what else. What else is on? They're all so good. Southern Charm has had a boring season, but it's still a very
I'm still entertained by it. Yeah, I'm still entertained by it. Summer House, I think, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. They've done a good job with recasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the most part. And by a good job, I mean, of course, I still hate all the men. And I'm like, you guys are so good. Congrats on finding new.
Except for KJ.
Douchebags.
We love KJ so far.
Yeah, KJ. Yeah, I like KJ. Well, he has a lot of douchebag language, but it has not manifested into.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
he's still
like,
a lover boy.
I'm still a lover boy and I just can't help it. I'm usually not someone to sleep with a lot of people, but I'm going to try it this summer. You know, he's playing a lot of those, but he seems like a total sweetheart. I love that show. I think everything's doing so well.
I love
and then
it.
Ladies of London is just the cherry on top.
Oh, my God.
It's like, we still got it, people.
Still fucking got it.
A lot of team pride.
Absolutely. Well, Ronnie, I appreciate you coming on. I'm glad we were able to do this. And hopefully we have to do something again soon.
This was so great. Yeah, definitely come talk to us. And let's check in when Rhode Island is
perfect.
On.
April's
we'll
our month.
On for crappy hour to talk some.
Oh, my God. That'd be fun.
About it.
All right,
thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Ronnie.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.